What's going on, everyone?
So
welcome to welcome to the levels. I'm Jeremy Long, joined as always by the Sportsnista Cassandra Cousineau, and of course, the return of Ramblin' Ralph, who's been, going across the country. He's now making peace on Indian lands, doing his thing. You know, he can't set bets. But he's doing
the casino. I cannot make listen. Gila River Casino is one of five major corporations that landed a betting license in Arizona, and they have an app and everything. There's been commercials every 5 seconds, and yet you can't make a bet on tribal land. So I don't know, BetMGM, you got to help me out here because losing money. I lost on the Stros. I was going to bet on my Seahawks. They're up 7-0. Not my Seahawks, but they were going to be, you know, my Seahawks for this game. So
some Seahawks.
Yeah, MGM, get your shit together. Yeah.
Nice to be some back. Seahawks were going to. Well, you know what? I gotta get comfortable, man. It's been a while since we've all been together to do this.
I know. We gotta get our sea legs.
Look, I got microphones. I got rearranged everything. I got all kinds of stuff. It is fight week. Fury Wilder 3. And of course, Vegas is live. There's a certain energy. There's a, you know, it's palpable here in Las Vegas. And anyone who's anyone, I think that's what the saying is actually, is here in Vegas looking forward to the third fight in this trilogy between these two cats who are vying for, you know, I guess any belt that Usyk doesn't have right now and his shocking upset. So we're gonna talk a little bit about Joshua's loss, what it means here to this fight, and then we're gonna get into an interview that you did, CC, with Mauricio Suleiman, who is the president of WBC, and he broke a little bit of news and the future and what's gonna go on with Dillian Whyte and Alexander Usyk and how it is gonna impact the whole heavyweight division. Suddenly, the heavyweight division looks like the hottest division in boxing right now. But we got some other news too. Tank Davis has a new fight date, so we have a lot to talk about and a little to it. So let's just jump right in. Now, both of you guys have been down in your own capacities here leading up to fight week. And CZ, I know I met up with you yesterday. We were down there at the press conference and all kinds of things. So let's start with you, CC. A lot of what do you want to call it? A lot of hallabaloo, a lot of things popping off there at the MGM Grand. Take us through a little bit of some of the action that was happening at the conference.
Yeah, a lot of F-bombs and a lot of murder threats. a lot of threats for homicide. And, you know, what's funny is that the Deontay Wilder and Tyson Fury press conference started off, you know, professional, I would say. Talk to Tyson, talk to Deontay, won a whole lot of crosstalk until the very end when they both just lost their minds. And then the accusations get flying about Tyson Fury's cheating, which I feel like with fighting specifically, if you're going to accuse a fighter of cheating, especially of loaded gloves, you should be producing real evidence in a real legal setting. Like, take it to the commission, take it to your sanctioning body, something like that. I just don't think you let something like that go. Like, you know, when Margarito was popped for the plaster when he was about to fight Shane Mosley, like, you know, him and his trainer both sanctioned as a result of that. And that's exactly what should happen. So I don't really want to hear no more. You know, the gloves were hot. There was pee in the water or whatever the hell it is that they want to say. Let's just fight now. I just need them to fight and get it over with.
Beyond the accusations, too, I mean, you had 800-year-old Bob Arum getting into it, not only with the young lady who hosted the conference, but also some of the reporters there asking questions and things of that nature. What was Bob's problem with the young lady who was doing the hosting for the press conference?
Well, first of all, Kate Abdu works for Fox. She also does some work, I believe, for DAZN. But she did a fantastic job. And she got that job. I think they told her just the day prior that she was going to be hosting. So I don't know exactly what fell out there, but she had to come in on 24 hours notice and take care of that. And if you look at the lead up, you know, Tyson Fury was pretty much talking to everybody, but Deontay was not. And I suspect they may have brought her in so that he would actually answer some questions, which is like total nonsense to me. Like, we got to like do something special for you to do your job. Right. So at the end of the press conference, she was getting information in her ear from production saying time for the face-off. Because you could hear her say, oh, okay, it's time for the face-off. And Aram is like, no face-off. We're not doing a face-off. And she's like, oh, okay, no face-off, which was a good idea. Because these guys were like heated and wound up, and she was the only one on the stage. It was just going to be a big old heavyweight mess up there. So someone asked him about why there wasn't a face-off, and he's like, F her, and F them. I told them there wasn't going to be a face-off. I mean, you can't say, why you got to say F Kate? He has since apologized. He has since apologized to her. He needs to do it publicly, though. He needs to do it publicly.
Ralph, do you think he should do it publicly, man? Come on, man. I mean, Bob is an institution unto himself. And you know what? He was cranky. It was late, and you know, late by his standards. I mean,
he even at did least like 900. He even did one of those three. You see when he did that move? That you know, he was in mid-season four. He doing all that. And here's the thing is that CeCe, she did do a good job, but I'm going to tell you that when you have two entities like Fox and ESPN, subconsciously they want to have the better interview, the better press conference, the better questions asked. And it happens, right? So Fury, of course, is wound up. He's trying to psych Wilder out. And you're going to get mad at me for saying this, but I'm going to be objective to what you're saying. It was a little jaded towards Deontay, but those are the type of relationships that you build. If you were to sit down, you're right. If you were to sit down with Berlanga and some dude from the Philippines and you do an oppressor, you're going to be more in tune to Berlanga only because you have a relationship with him already from being here and just doing interviews and whatnot. So Kate has a relationship with Wilder. They know each other from the past. And I didn't really think it was a big deal because Poncher has her way of doing her things. And, you know, today at the press conference for the undercard, she knew some of her guys. And it was, you know, like a jog. But even though he's over at PBC now, he used to fight for Top Rank. So she knows him. So if you go back and look at that segment, like, it's just, it is what it is, guys. But, I mean, man, he was on a roll. I mean, he was mad at everyone. He was
And then he cussed out Mike Coppinger from ESPN. It was just so much like cussing. I'm like, man, where your gummies at? You know, like.
And even though he's up there in age, he still wants to let everybody know that he is the fucking king. He's the man. Yeah. And he is the shit. He is the man in charge, regardless of what everybody thinks. And I mean, look, Coppinger, he says what he feels. He just comes out. There's no filter there. He's going to tell you like it is, whether you like it or not. That's Cop, man. That's just the way it is. I've met him a few times. I kind of like the dude. I mean, he's come up and praised me a couple of times on my work. And I mean, but he does, like, he'll piss you off. If you're not used to that kind of personality, you'll be like, dude, that guy is a schmuck, right? Like, man, fuck this guy. But in reality, but he's okay. You just got to get used to that kind of personality. He's not going to kiss your ass when he's doing interviews. That's just not him. And he just caught Bob at the wrong moment because he said, you know, F you prick or whatever was going on there. And
Coppinger kind of like set up like the strike when he came out, when they were asking him about Teofimo. He's like, you know, it's a shame he hasn't been in. And then Mike Coppinger says, well, if you had paid him what he was asking, it wouldn't have gone to purse bid. And then Bob stopped. And then he was like, fuck you, you prick. Get him out of here.
Prick, yeah, prick. Prick.
And then he kind of like just circled, you know, Derek kind of, he's like, come on, we got to go. And he just circled the scrum, walked out, came back in. He didn't go anywhere. Like, he was still there doing his job, but people felt like, you know, Bob threw him out the building, and that's not what happened.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you a question, Jeremy, before you chime back in here. You were there. I normally will be joining you and getting in on the mix here in these interviews. It's my son's birthday. I just wanted to relax. I've been in Vegas too much the last few months. It seemed like everybody had more access to people than normal. Is it because all of the promotion stars from each network, like, they're there, right? Like, everybody's kind of hanging out. Like, people, I told you earlier, I was surprised to see some of their stars there, like, on a Monday. They were there before Grand Arrivals. They were all hanging out. Teofimo's been there. He lives there now. So, I mean, of course, but he likes hanging out. He's like the little brother that wants to, like, hang out everywhere. He's been there every single day. Everybody's had access to him. Like, what's the feeling like down there? I mean, it's not like you're rubbing elbows with 1,000 reporters trying to get the stories. I mean, people are getting exclusives and having some one-on-one time with these guys.
Yeah, you know, I think it's a combination of a few things, Ralph. I think it's, you know, the layoff between, you know, having people this close again, people going out. It's the first, like, really big fight feel in a long time. Because, look, we like the smaller guys. We like Tio and Lomachenko and these guys like that. But nothing moves the needle quite like the heavyweights, right? And so it has that feel again, and it's Vegas. It's almost a sense of normalcy, people getting back to that, right? So I think boxing and the promoters, I think they're kind of letting the leash out a little bit, where you see at the press conference, there's a little bit of it kind of got off the rails. Now they kind of go back and go, okay, well, let's do some one-on-ones with some people. Let's do some, you know, let's give them a little bit more access, a little bit more. I'm going to offer an alternate take too. I think that when Joshua lost a couple of weeks ago, and I think the kind of letdown, because we were primed and ready. We were just a few weeks out from seeing Fury and Joshua get it on, and now Joshua's lost, and we have relatively, in the United States, unknown Alexander Usyk and everything. It kind of takes a little bit of the buzz and the feel and the kind of the money out of this fight. People are kind of let down a little bit. A lot of people feel like, look, the first one maybe was questionable. A lot of people feel like Fury won, even though he kind of, you know, almost got knocked out a couple of times. The second one was definitive. The second one was an ass whipping. You know, a lot of people, and I know they don't understand the contracts and how boxing works and everything, but they don't feel that right now there's really a need for a third fight. Are we getting a third fight? Yes. Do they necessarily feel, do casual fans feel like there's a need for a third fight? Not right now.
Nobody wanted this fight.
Nobody really got it. I mean, it's still going to make money and it's still going to do pay-per-view buys, but was it as big as how big Joshua and Fury was going to be in the summertime? No. You know, would it be as big as if, you know, Fury were to go over there and beat Joshua, now he refaces Wilder for all the belts and everything? No. You know, can those things still happen down the road? Yes. But this particular one right now, I think a lot of people are kind of lacking interest, I think, you know, outside of boxing heads. You know, the hardcores, you don't have to sell them on. They're going to buy the pay-per-view. They're going to watch the fight. But the casual fan, I think, may just be a little disenfranchised with the whole thing.
It's also at T-Mobile and not MGM Grand Arena.
Which is weird, because we met with people at MGM, and I know they own T-Mobile, but, you know, it's weird not to have it in the same building.
Well, T-Mobile is not as expensive as it is to have MGM. So that's part of it as well, because now you got to come up off of those coins, got to figure out another way. But the undercard is pretty loaded.
Yeah, it is.
Like, all things considering, I mean, so the pay-per-view undercard is all heavyweights. However,
listen, I want to see FS Joshua. He's an underdog from what I'm looking, and this dude can crack, right? So I honestly, I'm gonna be honest with you, I don't know much about Frank Sanchez. I believe that's what his opponent is.
Yeah,
I'm gonna be honest with you, I don't know a lot about him. I don't, and I follow the big dudes. I know FS Joshua. I know he's a one-hitter quitter. So if you're gonna lay any kind of bets out there, boys and girls, FS Jogba underdog might be one that you want to look at because I only see strap season for this guy. He just keeps getting better, keeps knocking fools out, and I think that Top Rank and Bruce and those guys over there will move him well. That's the fight I'm really looking forward to on the undercard. And, of course, your boy Berlanga is going to be fighting too. So, I mean, you know, you might be right. As far as the MGM Grand and T-Mobile, they did the same thing with Pacquiao fight too. They had everything over at T-Mobile. I mean, at MGM Grand, and they did not let the fans in to I had to sit outside and have a yogurt with CeCe there in the yogurt shop because I didn't handle my credential thing in time because they legitimately were just not bending or breaking at all. So maybe this will be a little bit more fan-friendly. I just think that everybody is just not used to having to answer to other entities. You got producers from both sides trying to work it out. You have managers who are used to bossing people around, PR people that are used to bossing people around. And before I got in this business, I never realized how many hands are in something as simple as a production that's going to be streamed. I mean, it's just, there's so many people that are involved. And one person wants to do something where they're used to doing something some way. And all of a sudden, here comes this network. Oh, we're used to doing something this way. They all have to get along. And they have to get along all week long, which you don't even get along with your own promotional company. Like, if people really saw what goes on behind the scenes, like 2 days prior or the day of the fight, shit, you'd be able to you'd make money because you'd be able to put that or you'd have a series and it would be bigger than the Kardashians.
This was contentious to begin with because of the whole contract situation and everything, you know. One, I'm sure Fury's camp feels like you robbed them of this huge payday and this big opportunity for the belts and this grand stage and everything, and then Wilder's camp feels like, well, you know, Wilder lobs accusations at Fury all the time, so his camp and his people got to believe some of this stuff that comes out of his mouth, you know. So they believe that, you know, Fury is a cheater and that Wilder has been somehow cheated out of different things. And so you have these two camps that do not like each other at all, and that goes from the fighters all the way to the promoters to, like you said, the PR people and everyone involved in their personal camps as well. So it's a miracle that this fight is happening, and it's a miracle that we haven't, and we've almost seen it. We haven't seen these guys yet come to blows outside of the ring. So it's very interesting, to say the least, the buildup for this fight.
Thank God. And you're right, though, because listen, you can hear people choosing sides in the room. Like, I'm sitting there and I'm hearing, you know, Wilder's promotional people, like, you know, hooting, hollering and clapping and stuff. And then you hear Fury's people on the other side. Although, honestly, there was a lot more like cheerleading going on from the Fox PBC side. Absolutely a lot more from that side. I ain't mad at it, but let's not act like it ain't happening, y'all.
No, it's definitely happening. And that's why people don't understand why this stuff doesn't get made. These fights get made like that anymore because, you know, people like with this Tank situation that we'll talk about later, people inboxing me like, why are they not fighting people across the street? Because the people across the street, when they open the door, they just gonna slam the door right in their face. It's happening. Unfortunately, this is the sport that we're dealing with right now. This is the way things are going, and you're just gonna have to deal with it. So I'm excited for this. To be honest with you, I didn't want to see it either, because I knew that Fury would give Joshua a big time run for his money. And we see that, you know, that sometimes maybe the chin that we thought was pretty strong is maybe suspect. And it did rob us of a Fury Joshua. And now it comes out today from my man Cop that he didn't go run under a rock. He came out and got a hold of the contract. Now Joshua doesn't want to step aside. They offer him step aside money. He said, no way. So the winner of this is going to have to wait, because Joshua wants to fight Usyk again. So, like, we still have a long way, man, down this road to find out who's the baddest of them all. And we're just going to have to wait until Sunday to figure this side out. And then 5 months down the road, Usyk and Joshua will go at it again. And then the winners will have to meet. And we'll see how that gets done.
Well, and also with that, Jeremy and I talked with Mauricio Suleiman. And we got some information on what that heavyweight division might look like for 2020.
Oh, 2022. Oh yeah. Let's check this out.
We're in Las Vegas. Tyson Fury, Deontay Wilder are going to fight for the third time. And, of course, the WBC belt is on the line. I always love to see the WBC belt. I mean, I think about how important it was to Muhammad Ali, for instance. And I grew up watching boxing with my granddaddy, and we'd always talk about that. And then it evolved into this big mega belt with all of the flags on it and all. But you broke a little bit of news today. What happens with the winner of this fight and now the holder of four belts, Alexander Usyk?
Well, we're going to give the winner of the fight 1 month to try to secure and negotiate a unification bout. If they're not able to do that unification bout, then the winner will have to do the mandatory title defense. And Dillian White, who is the interim champion, he's scheduled to fight in October, at the end of October, so we will wait for that fight to happen.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. You got one month.
Is that like first time we've heard this?
He's been talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
1 month.
Yeah. One month to do it.
That's not a lot of time.
He's talking about they need paperwork. I don't think they're gonna be in the ring, but like, yeah, they gonna have some paperwork on these guys.
Yeah, you know, I know you watched the fight, Ralph. What did you think of Usyk's upset, so to speak, over Anthony Joshua, number one?
I laid a bet down on Usyk. I laid a bet down on Usyk only because I pay attention to little minute things. Like, Andy Reese is a strong guy, but he is not a I'll knock you out with one punch, right? And when he hit Joshua both times with clips up top, with clips like not solid shots, and Joshua was getting like buzzed, right? And even if you go back and look at the Klitschko fight, he almost got taken out, and Klitschko hadn't knocked anybody out like in 33 years, right? And he almost gets clipped there in that fight. So it's like, dude, Usyk, I know he didn't really have the power to knock him out, but his speed and his footwork is unbelievable. So I had a feeling that he could have done some damage. And it was really unfortunate. Like, the cool thing about Joshua is he doesn't make excuses, right? Like, okay, I got my ass kicked. Whatever. I got my ass kicked. Let's do it again. No excuses. He did mention something about his eye, but he just could not stop the angles, couldn't stop the footwork. And Usyk fought a hell of a fight. Very entertaining. I enjoyed every minute of it. And I really enjoy the commentator that they use on Sky Sports, and they use on DAZN. I keep forgetting what his name is. I think he's going to be in the actual video game. The guy from England. He's phenomenal. I love listening to that guy. And it just made
Is it Gareth?
David, something. It's something. I don't know. But I know that Todd and those guys, they do a good job at DAZN. I just had a good time with it. The overall broadcast was awesome. I had a good time with it, and I think Usyk's going to be around for a long time. I think he's going to improve. And I think the only guy that can really give him a challenge will be Fury based on his footwork as well. I'm just being real. Like, Andy Reese's not going to be able to do nothing with him. Andy Reese will get stopped in a few rounds. I really think it's going to take someone that has some sort of footwork that's not going to stand in front of him to give Usyk a challenge. We got some true juice over there going on.
Yeah. Hey.
Hi, Mama.
Well, speaking of Andy Ruiz, he's got a new back tattoo.
That's right.
And I wasn't going to save this till later, but
you might as well do it.
I really want to take this picture off of my computer before the Federales kick my door down. But he got a new back tattoo. And when we say back tattoo, we mean from the top all the way to his butt and parts unknown. We're just gonna we're gonna throw this up real quick. Yikes.
Now, yeah, see, here's like, don't get me wrong, it's badass, right? But we talked about this earlier before. You see where that person's like screaming on his left cheek there? And if you go over to the right, like the tattoos connect inside that area. So the only question remains that you asked of us earlier is, I mean, who did the honor of, you know, doing the jail cell spread them? Hopefully it was a girl. Maybe, you know, because
that artist is thorough.
Low man. Low man on the entourage had the privilege, I guess. The privilege.
Man, that's
spreading things for the poor. Like
the anus man. They called the anus man.
All the way down to the anus.
Listen, man, I guess when you got a little bit of coin, you run out of things to spend it on. And, I mean, I guess you spend it on an ass tap.
It's like, oh, will you tattoo my butt crack?
Hey, like, man.
And you got to have three people, though. You got to have somebody to hold them, right, to make sure they don't fold. You got to have the man who's actually doing the work. Like,
you know, little Giuseppe or whoever is holding it, you know, his arms are going to get tired eventually because that's a shady and everything, because it wasn't just on top. Like you said, it went down. Like it.
I never met any Mexican named Giuseppe, but
he can't have Italian Mexicans.
Oh, no, Italian, okay.
Giuseppe Gutierrez.
Like, come here, Giuseppe's. Come here, hold this ass crack.
I cannot.
You guys are crazy. Oh, my goodness. Well, Giuseppe, you know what? Hey, Gutierrez. Man, it maybe that brings him luck. Maybe he gets his ass in shape and. Oh, look at that, Jose. Yeah, outside, inside out or outside in? Wow, that had to be. I probably would have started with outside, inside out, shower, straight from the shower, right thing, inside, get it over with, and then move on to the outside.
Do you guys have tattoos?
I do. Jeremy, you have a tattoo?
No. Nope.
Yeah.
I have one
from 20, uh-oh. And I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to move this down. I'm gonna be embarrassed to show this tattoo. So before the Teletubbies came out, my son, who's 24 years old tomorrow, I got it when he was born, and I have not done anything with it. So it looks like a Teletubby. I don't know if you guys can see that.
It does. It absolutely does. The one that comes out of his son. Yeah.
Everybody was like, "Why the fuck you get Teletubby tattoo?"
Show that again. Show that again. We just blew you up here. There we go.
So let's do this. There's that. Wow. There's
that. Absolutely looks like the Teletubby in the sun.
That is so terrifying.
They were like, "Hey, why the fuck you get a Teletubby on you?" And I'm like, "Tele who?" I didn't know who the fuck these people were. and they're like, "Yeah, the little rainbow dolls on PBS." I go, "That shit that my son watches." They're like, "Yeah, he was barely newborn, 6 months, 9 months." And I turned it on. I'll be damned. It's a freaking Teletubby tattoo, man. Like, and I got teased and clowned for a long time. And you know what's crazy is that I wanted to do a whole sleeve. I got one actually being worked on right now. And I'm like, I'm 42 years old. I'm like, do I really need to do all this shit right now to my body? So that's the only one that I have. And I promised myself I was going to keep on going. Well, we have to give Jose some fight gear.
Tell her what, but I'm just saying, like, can you imagine how much that hurt? I have one, and I would never get another one. It just hurt too damn much. But can you imagine what it's like to be getting the inside of your booty crack? That's a very sensitive area there.
That is, yeah, there's sensitive.
You have to be used to painting that area.
Like, can you just use like a paintbrush? Fuck the tattoo, just like can you just permanent paint.
What's that? What's that shit they use at Venice Beach? The hemp, henna,
henna booty.
Well, at least it's not like how the you know, how our Filipino brothers and sisters get there, or the Samoan.
Oh yeah, they do
with the nail and the hammer, and they gotta, you know, you that's sensitive flesh, sensitive yeah, little starfish.
Now, kidding aside though, we tease about Andy Reese's non-shaped ass, but I'm gonna tell you. I wonder why tickling made him fart. Yeah, we don't know.
I don't
wonder. Hope not. I don't want to know that either. But hey, that guy's lost some serious weight being over at the Canelo camp, and I'm really anxious to see if that's going to hurt him, because you know, it's so weird. It's so weird. Like, he'll be heavier and fight great, then he'll be at that weight again and fight not so great. You know, he fights up some level with competition. I just don't know. I don't know what's going to happen with that guy. I'm really anxious to see him fight again. I mean, Chris Areola is no pushover, but Chris Areola is 40 years old. And, you know, get clipped like that. And I'm just maybe this tattoo gives him this warrior spirit and
it new better. Life.
We'll see.
It freaking better.
It better. Yeah. That. He's going to, you know, his next couple of fights, whatever that is, he's got to go out there and he's got to put whoever he's facing away, or otherwise he's going to disappear real quick from that heavyweight title. He still has a claim to it. I mean, he still knocked out Joshua. He took those belts, you know, so he still has, you know, time in that title picture. But if he doesn't really start putting away the opponents again, then he could find himself on the outside looking in for a very long time. And these are the prime years for Andy. You know, I mean, these are prime fighting years, prime earning years. So if he could get back into it and he's been working with our guy Jorge Capetillo, you know, here in town and doing that sort of thing. So, I mean, if he can get on it again, then, you know, good for him and good for the whole situation.
The heavyweight division is not that deep, though. I mean, you're talking, so you've got Fury and Wilder, you got Joshua Ruiz, and then after that, you know, well,
you Dylan White
Music is there, you know, as well. But, like, you know, you got like six guys. I'm gonna say Michael Hunter in 2022. I'm real interested to see what happens to him. Remember, you know, he gave Usyk the business.
100%. Yeah.
What about the return of Big Baby Miller today? He put out a post on IG saying that he's back, and I forgot that he was gone. To be honest with you,
That dude should never box again. I mean, you can't stop eating Skittles.
Yeah, Jose here with a good point. You know, if Usyk gets back Fury, you know, who really poses a threat to him? You know, he has really good fundamentals, really good, you know, feet and everything, good movement. So, you know, it was an upset in terms of betting standards. But, I mean, Alexander Usyk was no joke going into it. I mean, he is a great boxer. He's got good power. So, you know, he's got some good tests coming up. And if he passes those tests, he could be a long reigning champ for, you know, for quite a few minutes here in that heavyweight division. So it's going to be very interesting. I'm excited because you get a new player, you get a new party that's involved in everything. And, you know, he goes in there and does his thing, handles his business and comes out the other side better for it. By the way, just a real quick plug for our guy, Jose Vellante. Go watch this show. Straight bet. Jose Vellante, man. Straight good bet. Show. Yeah.
Straight bet.
Great show. Good follow. He's always got a great guest.
Jose, drop the your show info in the chat.
Yeah, put that in there.
So we do have a couple more things from your interview, CC, with Mauricio Suleiman. Before we jump to that real quick.
I did a PBS interview with a couple of folks about Muhammad Ali. And so the host, before we started, he's like, because Sam Gordon from the RJ, Kevin Ioli from Yahoo Sports, and Andreas Hale from Sporting News are also part of the panel. And they were calling me CeCe. And so the host was like, oh, I see that your colleagues call you CeCe. Can I call you that? I said, no, it's Cassandra. Well, I don't know you like that.
We ain't close enough for you to be saying.
I don't know you like that.
The first letter of my name.
What's wrong with you?
You know what? This video, real quick. A lot's being made of the fact that, of course, with COVID and restrictions still around, usually Tyson Fury and these fighters that are very popular from overseas travel. We've seen it with Conor McGregor and the Irish Army and stuff like that. But with Tyson Fury, a lot of his fans aren't going to be able to get here for the fight and everything because of COVID restrictions. So our guy Mike Dixon caught him outside yesterday, I believe, or maybe it was earlier today, and asked him just how much that was going to affect how he performed and what was going on and all that stuff. So this is a credit to Mike Dixon over there, Vegas Sports Today. But here we go.
Listen, how does it affect you? I know that the UK fans cannot fly over to Las Vegas come this Saturday because of the COVID mandate.
These are all my fans. All on Saturday night, that'll be full of my fans.
Very quick, you know, Tyson Fury never lacking confidence, saying on fight night, these, you know, it's going to be full with my fans. And I don't think he's lying. I think even though he's the guy fighting overseas, how do you guys see this out as far as fans for between Wilder and Fury?
Well, I'll go first and I'll let CC follow up with that. Let's be real. Wilder was America's darling for a long time. And if you get clipped, you get clipped. One of our favorite of our favorite fighters of all time, they all have losses, right? Like the Pacquiao's, the Durans, the everyone. You can't say with, you know, even Cesar Chavez, who was like a darling to every Mexican uncle and grandfather in this country for the longest time. I mean, he has losses. There's losses there. And we don't care. Like, we don't care if our favorite fighter has losses. You just want to see him. And when you blame, like, I just got the phone with Kenny Bayless right before we talked, because I said, hey, I said, I'm sorry, you're not going to get the main event. You know, we'll see you on the undercard, right? He's like, yeah. So, okay. I mean, just think about it. Like, I'm going to go back to something Fury said in the press conference that hit me more than anything. If you feel that the gloves were tainted, your trainer spiked your water, your Predator 800-pound outfit caused your knees to be weak and your legs to go out, Kenny Bayless got paid under the table. Oh, and he had been drinking. He smelled alcohol on Kenny Bayless, which Kenny Bayless is a devout Christian who don't even drink at all, right? So, like, all these things that you say makes you look really, really silly. And it's hard to root for someone that blames everyone else except himself. If he were to say, you know what, man, I was just not on my game. I got my ass kicked or he beat me, whatever, fine. I'm going to get in there and try again. But you didn't do that. You blamed everyone else. I mean, dude, Mark Breland had been with him from the mud when they had no money. Mark Breland was there and didn't ask for anything but 100% from him. Now you blame him and say you spiked the water? No, goddamn it. No, you didn't spike the water. The gloves weren't taken. Kenny Bayless did. As a matter of fact, Kenny Bayless helped you out and took a point away from Fury, which people don't even get. And if you go back and look at the fight again, Bayless warned both of these guys, stop your shit. I'm going to take a point away. For both of you guys, and he warned both of them. So, like, Kenny Bayless did the best he could with 1,000 pounds of pure thoroughbred bodies in there, and you can't blame nobody else but yourself. So, you know what? To be perfectly honest with you, I think Wilder's going to come in with a lot of booze. And again, we're not at the MGM Grand; we're at the T-Mobile Arena. And I just looked online. I'm not trying to hate on nobody, but you can get into this fight right now for $190, $180, right? So there are going to be some empty seats. So who are the ones that really came out, right? So my friend of mine bought upper level tickets. He got an email from AXS today. They moved him down to the bottom bowl. Oh. So he got a $1,000 upgrade on his tickets, right, as of last night. So
they just automatically did that?
Yeah, they're doing that because they're not selling. If you go and look right now, the tickets on the bottom level, are there's a bunch still. It's expensive. So I don't know, man. I just think that Fury is going to come out, and it's hard not to love the guy. You know, he came out in the Apollo Creed outfit for one of his fights, and it's hard not to love him. You know, I really
remember
like
he came out to Patsy Cline's Crazy.
Yeah. So, like, I don't know, man. I just think Wilder's going to get some booze, but boxing fans are very forgiving. And, you know, if Wilder starts winning and starts hitting Fury, I guarantee you the boos are going to turn to cheers. It happens all the time. We'll see.
What do you think, CeCe?
I think that combat sports fans are an interesting bunch. And you will start hearing USA chants, but they'll be cheering for Fury.
That is crazy. That 100% will happen. They're chanting USA and it's for Fury. It's just funny. Let's talk very briefly. We're going to get to the rest of this interview here with WBC President Mauricio Sulaiman. But let's talk very briefly about the fallout between Teofimo Lopez, Triller, and that whole messy situation real quick. Everybody and their mom has an opinion on it. But CeCe, with you, first off, This fight now has been picked up by Matchroom.
Yeah.
Matchroom, and now it's going to be on DAZN. Trailer was found to be in default. They lose their, I think, 1.5 million, 1.6 million, I guess, deposit on this fight and everything. It is. I know they're not done, but is Trailer really done?
No, they're going to continue with their clown car and drive around the circus tent. I think you'll see more like, you know, versus integrated with, you know, some kind of celebrity boxing type of element.
Hey, Lamar Odom.
It's just fine. Hey, man, that stuff's crazy. That shit right there just, like, should not happen. I don't know what the hell. But I think that's what we're going to see more of from Triller. They probably owe some people some money still, and they're going to have to find a way to make that back, you know, unless they know how to tattoo booty cracks. They're going to have to put on some fights.
Go Giuseppe.
Giuseppe. Hurry up, man.
They'll be around. They'll be around. Teofimo, I really think, should sit out 2021 and get his life together for 2022 and come correct either with Top Rank or someone else, but he is in some sort of camp right now. We know he's working out locally. I don't know.
What do you think about the whole situation there, Ralph? I mean, is it better, ultimately better, that it lands with a more seasoned promoter like Eddie Hearn and company on a platform like DAZN rather than Triller trying to do a pay-per-view?
Here's the situation, and that's why the Coppingers of the world are voicing their opinions. Sometimes I love the kid. Even after our interview that we had a couple weeks ago, the kid is all about love and peace, and, you know, but at the same time, you're trying to push yourself up a level that you maybe are not ready for, as far as, like, money wise, like, people were talking shit to me all day on Twitter because I was defending Tank and Tank fighting Rolly. Tank can fight the fucking garbage man down the street and he will still sell out arenas. That's just where he's at right now. That's the level that he's on. You cannot compare Tank, and they're saying, well, what about Ryan Garcia? Well, look, Ryan Garcia needs to go see Gandhi. He's having some issues right now, mental squabbles. He's fighting with his promoter. His promoter still, you know, they Oscar's going online and, you know, he's doing what he's doing. He wants to fight. So right now they're just, he's out of the picture, right? Devin Haney, I went to his last fight against Linares, and it was in a smaller Mandalay Bay arena, and it was a third full. So you can't make no money there with that fight, okay? So what I'm trying to explain to people is that it really is a business. And if you have Tank bringing in all the gate, all the eyes, Showtime pay-per-view, and then you have people here that can't even sell 200 tickets. And unfortunately, that's the reality right now. Otherwise, these fights don't get pushed back, and it
sucks.
Definitely
boxing sucks, though. I mean, that's why it sucks, because it's going to be about matching up ticket sales instead of the fights that the fans want to see.
That's right. And right now, unfortunately, that's the way it is, because everybody is so apart from each other. You know, there's no one wants to hold hands right now because they feel like they're going to lose the upper hand in everything that they do. So you're going to have Tank fighting Rolly to keep in house. Bob Arum used to do it all the time. When Marquez would fight Pacquiao, would fight Bradley, would fight Pacquiao, would fight Bradley, would fight Marquez, would fight Pacquiao, all that money stayed with Arum, and they did it for years, right? So now that Tank fighting the third time, no less, in 14 calendar months, more than any other fighter in his weight class, at 130, 135, or 140, no one's fought three times in that time span, but Tank, they're talking shit.
No one's fought in that time span. Like,
exactly. So you're mad that they're not fighting the guys, but then you're mad that he's not fighting the bigger guys, but those guys aren't trying to fight right now, and they're fighting with the promoters, and they're off doing their thing, and they're going to counseling, and they're doing whatever. So what do you have right now? You have Rolly, who is the craziest dude on the internet, the biggest troll. He calls himself the biggest troll. Today he already trolled Gervonta with this little kid that was like 2'2". He's like, these are my sparring partners for Tank. I mean, he already getting at it. The fight's going to be fun. It probably won't last more than four rounds, but it's going to be a treat for everybody. And Like, you can't – like, I feel bad for Teofimo. I really do, because he's trying to get out there and trying to push himself. I understand. But at the same time, you go with somebody who turns their pay-per-view cards into political, you know, rallies, and they turn these cards into a joke. I'm sorry. I don't want to see that shit. Like, I respect everybody, what they feel, what they represent, what side of the fence they're on politically, but don't turn my boxing into a rally. Don't do that shit, and especially expect everybody to fall in line. That Thorsten guy that used to be with PBC, he's now the COO. He promised that there was no more clown cars, no more circus acts, no more nothing, but you don't have the talent to sign with you to put on these cards. So what are you going to do? You're going to go and overpay somebody else again, and then you're going to have debts everywhere else in the world. You're not going to last very long. So in my opinion, they're not going to have the clown shows anymore, but who the hell are you going to put on to make me want to pay and watch that bullshit, especially if you start bringing on clowns like you did the last fight card? And that's just my opinion.
CC, this question here, of course, by Jose, you know, with all the tie up with TO and just as much pain in the ass as this fight has been trying to get together with Triller and now DAZN and everything, will we ever see Loma TO 2, or does that fight even need to happen at this point?
I think it's possible, and I think that's what Loma is putting himself in position to do. I mean, he booked Richard Comey. So he's going after all the guys that, you know, Tio fought recently. And I think that is the plan. I actually don't mind seeing that fight again, because it almost is like confirmation. You know, it's either like, was that a fluke or did it really happen? And Loma looked great against Nakatani. His last time out, it was really weird. Made the kid look like, you know, like a baby giraffe, like his legs was just not with him. So I think we could get that fight in 2022, especially since if Tio stays with Top Rank.
In the interview that I had with Tio, he says absolutely not, 100%. He wants everybody to understand that if he would have lost, would he have got the rematch? No. So he wants everybody to swallow the pill, whether you like it or not. It is what it is, and he's moving on. But you're right, CC. He may not have another choice but to fight him again, because
he might make him the man.
No, he's not fighting anybody right now. People are talking shit. Like, you want to set up Teofimo Tank? Okay, set it up. Will it happen? Absolutely not, because there's not enough money from one side to fulfill. You're going to have Floyd, who, let's be real, expects revenue from both sides. That's why he negotiates and fights the Pauls and the whatevers of the world, because he knows that those Paul brothers brought all them damn teenagers in Miami. It looked like a damn prom in the crowd, because you had all these little teenage TikTokers everywhere, and they cashed out. And unfortunately, it is what it is. And Tank is not going to be fighting somebody who sells 200 tickets to a fight and your undisputed champ. It's just not going to happen. Unfortunately,
you can see some of these sanctioning bodies making mandatory fights, like we talked to Mauricio about. Loma could end up being a mandatory for Tio somewhere down the line.
Yeah, if that happens, guess what? Teofimo is going to move up in weight. He already talked to it today. In one of the interviews that was out, he already said, hey, I'm looking to 140. I'll even go up to 147. So they're already putting it out there like a Canelo. Like, I tell you this right now. If Canelo beats Plant and Benavidez beats Uscarategui down here in Phoenix the following weekend, Canelo makes the jump to 175, and we never see Canelo versus Benavidez. I promise you that.
So sad.
I promise you. It's just that's the way of the world right now in this sport, unfortunately. You know, what can we say? That's why UFC is UFC. You get what you have. We get what you want, and there's no way of running away from it, because where are you going to go? You lose, you just wait 5 more months, and you get in there again. You know what I mean? And nobody gives a shit. They just go crazy and cheer, and, you know. Yep. I wish boxing was the same, but unfortunately they're not doing that right now.
And hey, those MMA knuckleheads, they'll do it for an eighth of the price. So look at that. So everyone wins. Except for them.
And a Reebok shirt.
Speaking of, I mean, we've seen kind of the fallout between these new organizations like Triller, and DAZN's even had its issues over the last few months with Canelo, and, you know, getting out of his contract with them and everything. So CC, you touched base with Mauricio Sulaiman and kind of talked to him about the roles changing at WBC and a little bit about how they're going to wade into their future, what he sees as their future, and And it was very interesting to hear some of the ideas and some of the things that he mentioned. Anything before we show this little clip here?
No, we'll just run it. But I said I expect these sanctioning bodies to start getting involved in more matchmaking to jump over what these promoters are doing, which is holding up divisions
and cussing out people, Bobby, right here.
See your role evolving now as a sanctioning body in terms of making sure that the best fights happen along the way. We've seen kind of promoters getting involved and the fighters getting involved in their own hype, and along the way the fans have lost out a little bit. So how do you see your role evolving and making sure those fights happen?
Well, we have been extremely supportive of unification bouts. We have promoted tournaments. We have flexibility, and we reach out to try to support promoters and networks and invite them to do the best. And it's happening. Many promoters are understanding the need to have the best fight the best for the benefit of the sport.
What's the best part of heavyweight title fight in Las Vegas?
The hype, the atmosphere, the moments leading to. And then when that bell rings, it's just incredible.
Yeah, it's different when the big boys get at it in the ring, no doubt, right?
No doubt. The legacy that these both fighters represent, Muhammad Ali, Frazier, Foreman, Norton, Larry Holmes, Mike Tyson, Holyfield, Bo, Lennox Lewis, and Vitaly Klitschko. So it's a great, great line that leads to Saturday night.
Yeah, it's quite the pedigree that the WBC has had in boxing. In terms of boxing moving forward, what's something you're looking forward to being part of that's maybe a little bit different than what you all have done before?
We are trying to secure the WBC channel, to have it grow. We are working to support amateur boxing. There's a big threat that Olympics will not carry boxing anymore. We're very concerned about it. So just basically continue to strengthen the social responsibility programs and to get the best fights going for the green belt.
WBC channel.
Very good, CC.
That's cool.
Wow. Yeah, man, look at you.
Hey, I'm not used to seeing you in blue, but hey, you jumped over to the other side of the gang street. You look good. Yeah, it looks good, man.
You know,
Snoop Dogg will be proud of you.
I'm gang neutral.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it wasn't fight night, so red is always fight night. So
yeah. No, CC, great interview, Jeremy. I mean, what do you think? Like, I really think that they are moving their amateur program. They've actually had a couple of fights here in Arizona with real belts. I mean, even I think it was Jake. Was it Jake that ended up with one before he actually turned pro? He actually fought for one of the amateur belts in California. So they're really pushing that initiative, and I'm all for it. The WBC channel, it would be great, but at the same time, where are you going to get the money? Like, that's the problem, right, is the funding. And if they do streaming fights, that'd be awesome. I know Nancy works very hard for those guys, so I'm excited. That's actually really good news. We'll see how that plays out.
Yeah, and it's really important to know that, you know, it really hits home. I know he was kind of understated about it, but I think they are starting to hear more and more of that feedback from fans, and they're starting to see that these old heads, you know, Bob Arum, Al Haymon, these guys, you know, I understand that their main goal is to make money for themselves, and a second to a degree, if they can also make money for their fighters, they'll also do that. But it's not always in the best interest of the sport. Like you said, the sport is under attack from the Olympic Committee, you know, being threatened to have the sport removed from.
In other words, they had hired like cheating ass refs. Like, they should clean their shit up instead of like getting rid of the sport.
But the point is, you know, they removed things like wrestling and stuff like that from the Olympic sport. It started, I mean, I think the next Olympics is in Paris, and they're going to have breakdancing.
Yeah, they had
breakdancing is now. I know they're breakdance fighting.
I'm ready. The
famous Zoolander line.
Zoolander, popping, locking, fool.
But it all comes down for committees like the Olympics. It all comes down to what people are watching. and what they can sell advertising space for, not necessarily the athletes themselves. Boxing has got an image problem. Boxing has got overall a social media problem. The fact that their fighters are just not the only thing you ever see fighters, and I get it that they're fighters, right? All they do is fight. But the only thing you ever really see them outside of the Ryan Garcias of this world and stuff is them really just talking shit on each other. And it's fun. It's fun for hardcore fight fans and stuff, but it doesn't really move anything. You see Ryan Garcia get in, and you can say whatever you want about the kid, you know, however his boxing is, whatever. But, you know, he does crossovers with the most popular YouTube stars on the most popular channels. He's building his brand. Jake Paul comes in, Logan Paul comes in, and they instantly dominate boxing. They're instantly draws in this organization. And you have fighters that have been in here for years asking out loud, like, how come I'm not making that much money? How come? And then the other fighters are trying to get on the card because they don't know how to operate, you know, their personal brands and their social media and stuff. And we've said it from the beginning since we all got together and started doing levels. Like, if you're in boxing, you got to, or MMA for that matter, you've got to start taking your marketing team seriously. Not just promoting fights, but promoting who you are as a fighter, promoting your personal brand, building your base, because without that, without those eyeballs and how everything is moving to streaming and everything, you're not going to be able to command dollars unless you are a Tank Davis who is selling out arenas around the world. And he is one of the most exciting fighters and everything. He has that fight, you know, he has that fight, that appealing style to fight fans. Mm-hmm. But if you don't have that, if you're a lighter boxer who doesn't have that knockout tremendous power, and you only rely on your technicality, how do you sell tickets when people aren't buying? They don't want to watch that. You got to start developing a base, man. You got to have that.
What I thought of when he was saying it is I kind of thought about Dana White's Contender Series. And, like, you have, like, this base of, like, homegrown talent on your channel. And so when they make it to, like, the undercard or the pay-per-view, there's a fan connection there. Like, oh, I saw that guy. You know, or that woman actually, you know, like, you know, early on in their career. And that is something that's missing across the board in boxing, is actually just exposure for developing talent. Like,
yeah.
These people aren't, I mean, Sam's Town Live hasn't been operating since, what, 3 years? We haven't seen fights there. Those regional cards are gone.
And we probably won't, to be honest with you. I don't want me to interrupt you, Jeremy, but we were supposed to go back there. And we're not now because even those guys are feeling the squeeze, you know. Mm-hmm. Before they would say, hey, man, we want you here. Don't worry about paying for the venue. Just give us the beer money and we're good. You know, you get a couple Latinos in there, you're going to sell out of beer. Ain't worried about it. Now they can't afford it because they've been closed for so long. So, yeah, I agree with you guys, man. And Jeremy, I preach this all the time. People talk shit about the Pauls to me all the time. And you know what I say? Bro, your favorite fighter has 11,000 followers right now. And how many times has he posted in the last month? 3 times. Randall Rouse posts 30 times in one day, and I'm not even anywhere there. You have to. It is part of what makes you. And unfortunately, social media has become a way of our lives. Look at what happened when the shit went down. I was like, oh, my God. Like, I was feeding. And I'm sure the fans were as well, and everybody else in the world. It's just become our life, whether we like it or not. And these fighters, they have to adjust. You can't be mad at the Paul brothers for having 100 million followers. They've done their work. You can't get mad at them for coming over and making $50 million when you ain't done shit on social media. I'm sorry.
I do think they're great marketers, but I am a hater. I think those boys are clowns. And but they are rich and smart marketing clowns. But I have yet to see how their appearance on these clown car cards actually help boxing. The next card that those actual real boxers are on, they don't sell those out. Like, those fighters aren't getting paid in their next fight because they were on a card with Jake or whatever, Robin Paul. I don't know what his brother's name, but Robin. they don't get paid Giuseppe. Because of it. Oh.
Giuseppe.
So I think the Paul brothers are benefiting and they are pillaging the coffers of whoever is willing to pay them. But sure. I don't think that boxing in general is benefiting. Those kids aren't coming to see Terrence Crawford next month.
I'm going to stop you right there because I have a disagreement with you on there because something just happened last week to your girl that flipped the script, which I didn't think was going to happen, but the Paul brothers pulled one of the most popular boxers, female or male,
maybe not for the right reasons
because their coach be yapping and yapping and blah, 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 blah. But Amanda Serrano is now with MVP Promotion. So
but it's not that hard. She wasn't making a whole lot of money with Lou DiBella, even though Lou's been loyal
that.
To her.
I understand that.
And let me tell you something. That fight they're talking about with Katie Taylor, that shit was going to happen anyway. 2 months ago, Eddie Hearn said the next fight to make was not Jessica McCaskill. It was Amanda Serrano. So, you know, the Paul dude just kind of swooped in on a hot stove.
But here's the difference. Amanda Serrano with Lou DiBella would have made $200,000, $300,000. With the Paul brothers, she's going to make $5 to $6 million. And there's the difference. And that's what I'm saying.
I don't know. I think she was going to make that money on that Katie Taylor fight regardless.
I don't know what happened after that. That's a lot of money to pay out with somebody. I'm talking about like they're talking about making her NFTs now, doing crypto. I mean,
it's
going to be a lot of shit.
Some crypto. I mean, I honestly think these boys are actually really moving some money around. That's really what they're doing. I just think that like they're not, these kids are marketers, they boxers, they're out there trying to make as much money as they possibly can. And everyone is, to be fair.
I mean, that's,
and Amanda should be too.
And that kind of brings us full circle to, I mean, that's part of the problem. And Mauricio kind of alluded to that, like, you know, everyone's out to just make their own money. And at the same time, they're holding fans hostage saying, you're not going to get the best fights. You're only get, you know, once in a blue moon, you see these guys work together if there's a lot of money to be made for themselves. But for the most part, my fighter is going to fight my fighters. And if your fighter isn't in my camp, then, you know, fuck it. The fight's just never going to happen until these guys are 38, 39 years old. What the Paul brothers, and I am not a fan of the Paul brothers or whatever, but what they have done for boxing, if boxers and promoters are paying attention, which they rarely are, but if they do pay attention, they'll notice that the blueprint has been laid out for them. You know, if Amanda Serrano goes to MVP and starts making money off the NFTs, UE, and all this other shit, that's what all the popular boxers should be doing. You should be doing that stuff. You should not have all your eggs in one finance. That's finance 101. You have multiple streams of income, because Mauricio even said to you, CC, he said one day, you know, and I think we're going to play here next on this clip about WBC Cares, but you guys were talking about Vinny Paz, and he said, hey, one day, the lights go out, the fans move on, you're no longer in the ring, and what are you going to have to show for it? A lot of these guys and men and fighters are putting all their eggs in the fight basket, and then the minute they lose a couple of fights, the fans lose interest, all of a sudden they're fighting bums for bum money, and they got nothing to show for it but a lifetime of injuries.
Ralph? Ralph, what's the man called? The Elote Man?
Eloteros
outside, you know, or your
term, guys. For those that know, haven't heard that term, it's just a term for a guy that's basically like a journeyman. And in Mexican culture, they say eloteros or the ice cream man or taxi cab driver, same shit. But
you know, or you're spreading Andy Ruiz's butt cheeks and having the data. But you know, anyway, if they're paying attention. The blueprint's been laid out. This is how you can make money. You can't just be a boxer in a social media and digital world. You got to be more than that. Get you a Twitch channel. Start streaming some games. Start, you know, like Jamel Herring is always on Twitter or Instagram or something. He films his runs. Hey, run with me. We're running this morning. He talks to people. Hey, okay, what are you doing out there? All right, we're running 3 miles, man. Yeah, you know, and Jamel maybe missed the boat just a little bit because of his age, but not because he's not trying. If you are a young boxer, if you have a young boxer in your camp, if you're a Max Ornelas or, you know, any of these guys that were with RJJ, you know, any stuff like that, get your ass on social media, man. Get you a following. Every single day you should be doing it. Train, post. Train, post. Train, post. That's, you know, and build it up.
Social media, man. Where your cousin at?
Go on Fiverr and get you a social media person for that will post 3 or 4 times, you know, a week for you and just get it done. So
what is that called?
That's what the Fiverr. Fiverr.
What is that?
Yeah. It's a website where you could go. Like if you want a logo made for your company, you could go and pay somebody like $20 and they'll make you a logo.
Actually, Schmo, somebody we know actually found someone in one of those services. I don't think it was Schmo. It was actually someone came to him. But someone else I know actually who has a pretty big social media following, like found somebody on Fiverr for like to do their logo for like $30 and like now they're killing it. But yeah. Like you do logos, they can write you like stuff for your website, all kinds of stuff.
We did mention women's boxing and Amanda Serrano and everything, and you actually talked to Mauricio and asked him about the state of women's boxing, CC, and this is what he had to say.
Before I let you go, I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you about women's boxing. You mentioned the Olympics, and of course, the 2016 Olympics was like a watershed moment for women in boxing. You had Clarissa Shields come out of there, and of course, we see what Katie Taylor is doing. What do we need to see out of women's boxing in order to actually have these women to have greater opportunities on these big cards?
We're seeing it. The promoters and the networks are finally giving them the recognition. We believe in the power of women. The WBC is a strong supporter of women's boxing, and we'll continue to fight along with them to get more TV time, to get more fights in big events like this. And I'm very happy and very thankful to the promoters who see it.
Yes, Mauricio!
Yes. Hey, shout out to Mauricio for losing like a grip of weight, man. He's looking good, man. He's looking good.
Yeah. So our guy Mike Dixon letting you know what Fiverr is all about. So
thanks, Mike.
the most important part, the whole reason we started talking to Mauricio is about their WBC Cares. Tell us, CC, what is WBC Cares and what do they do exactly?
It actually started in 2006 by Mauricio's father. It really kind of grew out of the need to find support for these fighters who just didn't know where to go for help. Some of them needed like insurance. Some of them needed help with their mortgage. Some of them needed to get bailed out of jail. Some had addiction problems. And that's really what the impetus was. And now it's an international thing where actually someone we talked with, I can't remember his name, JR, I Got My Own Back, fighter who's designing fight walkout clothing for tons and tons of people.
Yeah, he's doing my jacket for my next fight, that guy.
Sweet. Ooh, nice.
Yeah.
But they have a whole ambassador program where they go into schools and they talk about anti-bullying. And they also go into kind of like smaller boxing clubs and give them advice on resources. I mean, it's a whole big program on just how to give back to boxing from boxers to actually the boxing community.
Cool. Let's take a look.
Come on, of course, the head of the WBC. We are in Las Vegas. A lot's going on here. We're going to talk about the fight in a moment, but I want to talk to you a little bit about WBC Cares. And going back to 2006, of course, your father, Jose, started WBC Cares with the mission of giving back to boxing. And of all the things that you've done so far, what's the most important to you?
Well, WBC Cares is our pride. We're celebrating 15 years of giving hope, giving a great inspiration and message of life to those who need it most. Our champions go and visit children's hospital, schools, gymnasiums, even penitentiaries. We have a great program running all over the world, and we change lives day after day. We're very proud of it.
And it's an incredible journey that the boxers take throughout their career, from being amateurs, turning pro, and some of them becoming champion. But you also have some pros who give back. Who are some of the pros that give back to the program?
Well, our first visit was Chicanito Hernandez, who passed away to cancer, and Eric Morales. That was the first time 15 years ago. We have Lennox Lewis, Evander Holyfield, Vitaly Klitschko, Sean Porter, Jesse Vargas, Chavez, Duran, Pipino Cuevas, Chiquita Gonzalez. We have so many all over the world. When they just see a kid, they change their lives, and also the women champions. Mm-hmm. Christy Martin, Mia San John, Ana Maria Torres, Barbie Juarez, all of them, all the champions in one way or another participate. Wilder and Fury, both of them. I was with Wilder in Italy, in Rome, and we visited the hospital because his daughter had a situation, and he went and talked to the parents, visited the whole hospital, gave toys, and it was just a great experience.
I talked with Vinny Pazienza this week, who's going to be here for the fight, and one of the things that he said is that he just wishes people knew how much that you mean to him and how much WBC Cares has actually reached out to him at different times in his life. How do fighters get to you if they need support?
They just simply find a way to contact the WBC through the Facebook, through the web page, through Instagram, social media, visit us, call us, and basically what we do, there's whoever has a special need, a specific need, they fill a form, we help them to fill the form, we submit it, because the fund, Jose Suleiman Boxers Fund, it's administered by the Nevada Community Foundation. We don't touch the, we cannot touch the money. Mm-hmm. And everything is very, very well analyzed, and once they have receiving a grant, we make sure the money gets properly, and we help them administer. So it's a very, very complex program, but it's very gratifying.
It is very gratifying. One of the things that I love about boxing is that it really is a community. It's a small community when it's all said and done. But there are so many people that are helping these champions along the way, in addition to WBC Cares. Like, I talked to Vinny, and of course, he's got Zena in his corner. What do you say about boxers who have special people who are in their lives, making sure that they don't get taken advantage of, but they also have opportunities to reach out along the way, too?
Zena, she's an angel. There's so many moments that she has shown how important her dedication and her love for boxers and for people and to serve others without any interest is sensational. And we have ambassadors, we have angels like Zena that reach out and help so many fighters. And because when the light goes out, when the career is over, and the fans are cheering for somebody else, everything turns into a very difficult, there's a depression when the money is out, when the situation change, and we just have so much respect and care for them.
There you go.
Wow, nice. Yeah, they got better and better. Cece, good job.
Thank you. They do a lot. Listen, that interview was like 6 months in the making. We were supposed to do it another time, and then the fight didn't happen. And then finally they get into town and they said, okay, we'll do it the 6th or the 7th. And then the location changed. And I was like, so I hit Jeremy on the text. I'm like, so I'm going to call a last minute play and I need you to come in and shoot this like in 2 hours.
We got
it
done.
The location changed like 3 times within that 3 hours. But we got, and I think actually it worked out for the better, because to be in that room and all of the belts that they had and the timeline of history they had on display. And Mauricio is, an A-plus guy to get somebody like that, to get their time. And listen, he was talking to a lot of people, but we got him one-on-one.
Hey, yeah, check this out, Ralph. Check a little bit of this B-roll of some of these belts that they had on display here. Man, just a little bit, man. We didn't know that the first, I didn't know anyway, that the first WBC belt that's famous for the green and gold look was in fact neither green nor gold, but actually kind of silver on just a, like a little black band.
Black. Yeah, that's crazy. And when we had Jill Diamond on our show a few months ago, I mean, I know that CeCe's excited to get involved with that when she has the opportunity, and I'm looking forward to it too. I mean, you're talking to people here that can't wait to get started with that. I mean, I just can't believe all the work that's done outside of it, as much shit sometimes as these guys get as an organization. You know, nobody's perfect, but at the same time, they do more than anybody else, I believe, in boxing as far as giving back, helping fighters. And, you know, that's why when I'm, you know, my company gets going, we're going to go directly to that fund and give a percentage of everything we sell, because I believe in it so much. I mean, not just for that. Like, you got Nevada Boxing Hall of Fame, who they also have a fund, too, that they struggle. Like, these guys, they really are trying to make a benefit. There is no 401k. There is no retirement fund. There's nothing. There's no financial person to sit there and say, hey, Berlanga, instead of buying that $100,000 chain you have on your neck, you should have bought some land and built a duplex for your children. Or there's no one to tell them that, right? Because they're 20 years old. And not to knock them, because I would have done the same shit. You know, I'll get my Bugatti before I own a property at 20, because that's what makes you at 20. And I just think that it's time to really educate, you know, especially with this cryptocurrency coming on and the NFTs. I'm telling you, like, this is going to change the industry. You've got college kids that before they even play one down of college football are signing $5 million endorsement deals now. It's going to change the game. And these guys better wake up and realize that they're going to get left behind at 21 and 22 because their peers in every other sport are going to be making that change. And football is not going to be the end of it. Watch the basketball, watch the baseball, watch everything else coming along. Then your badminton teams are going to get upset because they're not getting hooked up. So then badminton's got to get involved. And before you know it, college is going to become one big pool of rich 20-year-olds. And
does Bella play a sport, Jeremy?
She will tomorrow.
It's not too late. It's not too late. Isabel, where are your tennis racket?
Right.
You'll be playing something.
Right. Playing
something. So I could go to Jamaica. we also, you know, I know we're kind of coming to the end here of the show, but I know you guys did an interview with who did you guys do an interview with? Ugas?
Dennis Ugas.
Ugas. Let's try to play a little bit of this. What's this play first Ralph's clip here? If you can do this.
Yeah, play Ralph's first. If you see it in there. So we got to have some Zoom time with your Dennis Ugas actually shortly after he beat Manny Pacquiao, and he was in a great mood. So we had a translator and Ralph, who could actually translate too, and me.
But he's phenomenal. That translator that they picked up from Showtime, Marquee. He's phenomenal. Yeah. And, you know, he speaks more of like the Latin Spanish, not like the Mexican Spanish, like the Central American Spanish, which is like 10 times faster than any Mexican speaking person would speak Spanish. Like, it's just like on fast forward, man. So I was like, you know what, bro? I'm glad you're in the room. Now I can speak Spanish to him and you can translate. So it worked out good. It worked out good for everybody. Check it out. Check it out.
Maybe. Look, you know, I loaded it. So,
is it?
Check it out.
Do not
play. Any second.
Oh, you're coming up. So anyway,
it's not gonna go. Food boo boo.
All right, we've been working with that one for a minute. It's just not.
Yeah, we'll do a Pacquiao show next week. We'll bring in Mike Pio and we'll get that thing working.
Yeah, we'll do it next week. You send me the video, and I will take care of that too.
Good.
Okay, we'll do that. We'll do that.
Okay, CeCe, you try.
So before we go,
I'm telling y'all, goddammit, I'm the sports nista. I ain't the tech nista.
Before we go, you know, of course, the big fight is this weekend, so we got to go out with some predictions. We gotta see where everything lands afterwards. So I'll start with you, Ralph. And if any of you folks that are watching here on, we just had a whole new slew of people on YouTube and things like that come in. If you who do you pick? Wilder, Fury, and how's the finish look?
Am I first?
Yeah.
All right. So here's my thing. A lot of nervous energy on both sides. People were saying Fury was cracked out today or yesterday at the presser. People were saying that Wilder scared because he wasn't saying nothing or fighting back. I think it's just nervous energy and it's going to collide. If Malik Scott is true to his word, we're going to see a whole different Wilder. But then again, I didn't get to say this because we changed topic, but if Fury said, if nothing was wrong and I cheated and you fought a good fight, then why all the changes all of a sudden? Why the changes to your camp? Why the changes in your training? And I really think that's going to hurt him. I really think he's going to overdo the thinking and the mentality instead of going in there and doing what he does best and landing that bazooka right. So I've got Fury in a TKO victory in round number 7. So parlay that with the under 8.5 rounds and go out and take your loved one to a steak dinner on round and round.
I'm a punk out and I'm not going to pick, but the fight's not going the distance. It's not.
He's not getting off that.
He's not going the distance. I do think that Tyson Fury is the best boxing heavyweight in the world. Fast hands, moves quickly. You saw him the second fight. He said it. He was going to take it to him quickly, and he did. He had Deontay Wilder on his back foot the entire fight, and I don't see how that changes. From that, for, you know, 18 months ago till Saturday night. And so if I got to pick, I guess I would pick Fury. But, you know, Deontay Wilder has that Thor, what is it, Milner, that hammer of a right hand. If he can get that sucker off, it's going to be an early night. But I don't think it's going the distance. I do think that Tyson Fury is the better boxer of the two.
I would be shocked if this fight went the distance. This is one of those true fights that people always hype up, but you know, I don't think it's going to go the distance this time. I think both these guys are going to come out there swing with abandon. You know, Fury more controlled abandon, but you know, Wilder's got that TNT, man. He's got that weapon of mass destruction in his right hand, and you know, he's knocked down Fury. He's come close to getting that finish. He's been finished himself. I think this is just it's a dynamite fight. I'm happy we get to see it. I'm sad that we didn't get to see the fight in the summer and everything, but boxing's here. Boxing, heavyweight, meaningful championship boxing is here again. And I'm also excited about the news about Gervonta Davis and Rolly, because I think that one's going to be super, super exciting. And I know, Ralph, whenever everything starts kicking off, we're gonna team up with you, and we'll be out getting some footage and some interviews and things and sharing them with all of our fans.
Oh, yeah. So just real quick before we let him go, we got the updated betting lines from BetMGM, my favorite company that doesn't allow me to bet, even though they have a station here about 100 feet from me. Shouts out to them. Tyson Fury, a 2.5-1 favorite right now. Wilder's a +200. Man, we've got Fury by KO at a -110. So that's what they're predicting. A -110. You've got Wilder by decision at +1400, which is amazing. Wilder by TKO is a +250. Wilder to TKO +250. So you can actually hedge your bet there because it's so lopsided. And yeah, actually take a little bit of scratch if you're smart. I won't give it away what to do, but use your math on that one. And they've got some crazy, crazy betting lines like Fury knockout in the first 6 rounds, nothing lower than a +1600. I mean, they're going to go at it, guys. They're going to go at it. I know Wilder has a lot of revenge on his mind. I mean, like TC said, talk about murdering and killing, and it's going to be nice when the murder comes your way on this day. Mark my words, I'm coming for you. Know, he's coming out with all kinds of great stuff. That sounds good.
The Lord said, I must murder.
It sounds good. I mean, I want to see a fight. And if we have to watch this again, I want to see a fight, damn you. And we're going to get it. I really believe we're going to get it. I think Wilder was a little bit embarrassed. When you're embarrassed, sometimes you say things and make excuses. We've all done it at some point of our lives. In any point, in any facet of our lives, we've at least one point try to kind of push it off on us because of embarrassment or whatever. And this may be what happened. He has a lot of making up to do to his fans and to himself more than anything. And I think we're going to see some crazy shit pop off. I told Michelle Rosado on her tweet that I have a really bad feeling about something going weird or something crazy happening in this fight. Like or maybe out of control, getting after the bell, you know, trainers getting involved, some crazy shit. And, you know, Tyson's dad. I don't know, man. And the last time I had this feeling.
Huey in there.
Yeah. And the last time I had this feeling is when Chavez Jr. fought Danny Jacobs here in Phoenix. I had a real bad feeling in my gut. And Pedro Gomez, rest in peace from ESPN. He was sitting next to me. I said, Pedro, I said, no more baseball, huh? He said, no more baseball right now. I said, I have a really bad feeling about this fight in here. I said, the last time a Chavez fought in here was his dad in this building, and he quit 9 years ago. Mm-hmm. I said, I have a really bad feeling. And sure enough, some crazy shit happened. So I don't know, man. I'm just hoping for a good fight. I think we're going to get it. I don't think it goes over 7 rounds. Right. The over-under is what I see here, 7.5. So, like, yeah, man. This is gonna be crazy. 7.5 rounds. So take your pick there. That's a good bet.
Make your money.
There you go. And of course, my guy John Como saying Wilder's on record saying he knows he's not the best boxer, but he knows he can end it with one shot. That is an understatement. Like we said, man, that guy's got, you know, one trick pony, but that one trick is a hell of a thing, man. That's so, and Wilder, you know, Fury for his boxing prowess can get hit. I mean, he's been hurt by Otto Valim, had that huge gash over his eye, almost lost his chance at.
Mitch Duran, by the way, is in Tyson Fury's corner.
Ooh. For this fight.
They brought in Stitch.
They brought in Stitch. When you want the best,
napping around.
When you want the best and you need your butt saved, man. But wasn't it Jorge? It was Jorge.
Yes.
That saved his ass.
And when I think it was actually the commission that saved his ass, because that fight probably should have been stopped. But yeah, Stitch is in there. They're not fooling around with nothing. I think he might be in FA's corner. I forget. Stitch has a couple of the big fighters. And he also has Robisi, who is on the early cards.
Interesting.
It's gonna be a good night. I'm excited. I said, you know, normally I'd be there with you guys. I needed to rest. Happy birthday to my 24-year-old son.
Yeah. Is he turning 24?
24. I'm an old man. See all this great shit. That's three children and a divorce and boxing life right there. See that? That's what that is. We're gonna have fun, guys, and be safe out there.
Oh, wait, have fun.
What?
This all expensive ass
spaghetti sauce. What is it?
Rayos. Where the camera at?
Where'd you get that for like a 3-for-1? They closed down, didn't they? I just saw it today.
At in New York City?
No, they're gonna close down the one at Caesar's Palace in November.
It's very expensive. It's like $11 this bottle. But if you're not making homemade sauce, you buy this.
Let me show you.
You have stock in them?
If you're 42 years old.
They were hassling for this. They were like,
if you're 42 years old and you ain't making your own energy or testosterone, may I suggest this combination here? Get you up in the morning.
Listen.
You didn't hear that from me. Oh, let's go.
This is where we are now.
At least I didn't show up my ass like Andy.
We done went through Andy Ruiz's butt crack.
We literally went through Andy Ruiz's butt crack. There you go. Yeah. For everyone just to Andy Ruiz's new back tattoo.
Andy, my boy Andy.
Inner working.
Yeah, you know, some people will be like, oh shit, that tat's nice. Let me see it. I don't think it's gonna be too many people asking to see that.
Poor
Giuseppe Gutierrez who had to hold this mix. poor guy. So thank you guys so much for joining us. Cece, you're gonna be at the fight, right?
Yes, I
Ralph,
am.
Ralph, you're taking the weekend off.
I'm taking the weekend.
Where are you next?
I will be at the Tuesday Night Contender on Tuesday. I will be in there because I'm just gonna be there. Trust me. Cece, you know why
right
I'm gonna be
on.
There. I'm gonna be there.
Right on.
My next fight is gonna be in Tampa. We've got Signature Punch Boxing. They're the newest promotion on the East Coast, and they're making big waves. They already got three of their fighters on Showbox, and they've only been around for three cards. So they're nice. Pushing Antonio Tarver's ex-manager is running that promotion. I'll be out there in Tampa. Then I'm going to stop in New Orleans for 2 days, and I want to have a beignet at Café du Monde. That's the only reason why I'm stopping there. And they're flying me back, so I'm going to fly into there and then go to Vegas. And then we got big-time fights coming up. The Canelo nice. Fight is already – I got 83 of my Mexican family members already asking for rooms and all kinds of shit. Hey, $900 for a suite in Vegas on that weekend, $550 for a regular room. I suggest you get, you know, Mexicans, we sleep 7 to a room anyway. Oh. Get 8 of your friends, sleep them on the floor like the olden days, and just come on down. It's going to be fantastic.
I don't know how to do that. Don't
act
like y'all know.
Yeah, I've done it. I ain't ashamed. We'll bring 6 people. We'll sleep on the floor to get a little the jacket. Or sometimes they fold up the sweaters, the shoes. They even use shoes sometimes.
That's a pillow.
Ain't no shame in the game. Ain't no shame.
I've been in those rooms promoting MMA in South Texas, man. I know. I get
That's
it.
Right. That's right.
Well, thank you, everyone, for tuning in, commenting, joining in on the show. We appreciate it, sharing it, and all that good stuff. So we're going to see on the flip. We'll see, you know, what happens in this fallout to heavyweights, and we'll see what kind of craziness boxing gets up to next week. And if Bob Arums is cussing people out and making his little fist at people, shut up, you prick.
That, hey, yeah. Yeah. Are Raiders playing this Sunday?
Yeah, they play the Bears.
Okay, pick of the week, Garoppolo's out. Trey Lance starting for the 49ers. My Cardinals are going to put their you-know-what in the dirt. If you want to make some money, bet big on the Cardinals. We're going to be 5-0, baby.
5-0. Kyler Murray, MVP front runner right now.
Yes, sir.
So, yes, sir. All right, guys. We'll see you next week, and we'll see the we'll have the fallout of Fury Wilder 3, and TC Martin, you prick.
No ass tats.